Today we want to go to the book of 1 John.
Glory.
1 John, chapter, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3.
My.
1 John. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Of course, I'll be reading from the ESV. The Word of God says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother."
Praise him.
For a few moments, we want to talk about the way of the Christian. I need the Christian.
Yes, Lord.
Christians live with great distinction from sinners.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Christians live with great distinction from sinners.
My Lord.
It is my challenge and my encouragement to each of you that upon hearing what the Word of God says, that we would live lives which outwardly exhibit what it means to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Life can offer us a variance of temptations.
Yes,
temptations which will moments push us to give up and flow with the status quo. The temptations to believe that it does not matter how we treat each other or how we live, to become so self-absorbed that we fail to exemplify Christ to whom we are accountable. It's tough. When seemingly everything and everyone in the world says it's okay because everybody else is living this way.
What?
Our faith as a believer becomes difficult and challenged. So much so that many who claim to be so have become sucked in by the standards of the world. We stop living where God says live and figure, well, this is how it is now. And become so sucked into it that we disregard blatantly what God says. But I want to encourage you today that God desires us to live distinctively. Meaning that when people see you, when they see us, when they see those of us who claim to be Christians, they can tell the difference. Amen. So the question is, how do we remain faithful and distinguish ourselves as believers? This is the question that John continues to address as he addresses and writes this church. They were being captivated, if you will, by this notion of Gnosticism. Gnosticism was the teaching that knowledge is what makes you, and knowledge of life and so is what made you closer and better and distinguished you among the saints. They believe that Christ did not live in the flesh, and he was not, he did not, and he could not live divinely in the flesh. And so their teaching was that you can live whatever way you want to live. Just keep being philosophical and gathering book smarts and live whatever way you want to live. It doesn't matter. And so John takes pen and he begins to write and says to them, you can't live whatever way you want to live. Every man must place his hope in Christ. And he makes it clear that it is not the knowledge of self and the knowledge, watch this, of carnality that brings you to a spiritual experience. But it is knowing God that brings you to spiritual elevation. And so he teaches, he says, as he writes this church, you can be faithful and you can live as God has dictated if you trust him and you keep your hands in his hands. In so many words, that's what he's saying throughout this book. But it is here in chapter 3, verse 8, that he says that the way of the Christian is that the Christian, we resist the works of Satan. We resist the work of Satan. We resist the works of Satan. He says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. He says, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's been causing disruption and distraction among believers. And then he says, he gives us some hope as he says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Really pressing claim that the devil, watch this, does not have power over the believer. He don't have power over you. He gonna keep tempting you. He gonna keep that. That's a part of his works. But we have to get to a point where we resist the works of the devil. The devil and his works. I mean, the objective of Satan is to cloud our judgment and distort our views of God. Make us see God as some far and distant figure in our lives. And so since he's distant, I can do what I want to do. Live how I want to live. Since he's distant, you know, that's what the devil does. He clouds our judgment and clouds our perspective and perception as to whom the devil is. Now, look, the devil does have some works that he does. You know, let's just put it all in one cat. Sin are the works of the devil. Those distractions, those things, and now not all have made the same sins. And here lately, I've discovered that there are many of us who have categorized our sins as little sins and big sins. That's a distraction from Satan. That's one of his distractions. He make you think it's all right if you do this, but you better not do that. Got some folk that will point fingers at you, you know what I'm saying? You got folk that they creep around.
Creep around, tiptoeing.
Yeah. And sinning. And because nobody they think sees it, they figure they all right. They can expose you for yours. That's what make theirs little and yours big. Those are works of the Satan to cause us to categorize and to put other down. But let me just tell you, ain't nothing little about sin. Sin is sin. Look, a lie is a lie. Theft is theft. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Amen. So, He says, resist the works of Satan. Resist his works. We are empowered to resist his work because Christ has destroyed the works of Satan's power over us. And how did he do that? He did that through the salvation, and through salvation, and we are empowered to resist. System. Look, as believers, let me help you to understand something. We've got some help.
Amen.
And perhaps the problem with us is this is one reason why I don't like that song that folk be saying, you know, put the devil under my feet. You can't hold the devil under your feet. That scoundrel been around a long time. Talk to me, somebody. He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You need the power of God. And it only comes through the working of his Holy Ghost. Spirit, we become spiritual and being saved. Amen. So that we're empowered through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't handle the devil by yourself. No, you can't do it by yourself. You need the workings of Christ in your life. Amen. 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 And so he has given us some strength through the workings of Jesus. You remember Popeye? Popeye had an old nemesis. And his nemesis' name was Bluto. Amen. His name was Bluto. You remember Bluto. Called Bluto. You remember Bluto, don't you? And Bluto would always find ways to get under Popeye's skin. I mean, Popeye would just be, you know, just minding his little business, walking along, minding his little business, you know, with his little girlfriend, Olive Oil. Well, later on, she became his wife, didn't she? Because they had become husband and wife. Because they had a baby by the name of Sweet Pea. You remember that? Y'all remember? You remember Popeye? I mean, just be minding his little business. And Bluto would come along and do something to bother Popeye. And Popeye would do his best to try to just beat Bluto. But Bluto was bigger. Bluto was stronger. Bluto just had all the, he was domineering. Bluto, you know, Popeye just couldn't fight him by himself. But Popeye, you know, and it seems like Popeye could never win. But when Popeye,
oh Lord,
had taken enough. When he didn't had enough of it. Yeah, that's it. He said, I took all I could stand. Up would come a can of spinach. Oh, yeah. Y'all remember? Y'all don't remember? And all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. Boom. Bluto would be out of the box. Because Popeye recognized that he could not handle Bluto by himself. Now, I'm not trying to vulgarize the Holy Spirit and the power of God, but I want us to understand that, you know, there has come to a point in our life as believers where we can took all we can stand and say, look, I need the Spirit of God, the power of God to manifest himself in me. I can't do this by myself. I can't fight this fight by myself. We need the Lord. And look, here it is. Because we have the Lord, because the Lord is working in our lives, because we know that he is working on our behalf and we are empowered by him, guess what? We can walk in victory. We can walk in victory by ignoring the efforts of Satan. And believe me, let me just help you to understand, just because you got the Lord on your side, just because you've been born again, does not mean that Satan gonna stop messing with you. Because he will not stop. That's what the old folks say. That's when it gets worse. That's when it gets worse. You done got some religion, and then all of a sudden, he just done got. He gets worse. Yeah. in order to distract us. Look, let me help you understand something. Satan doesn't mind you coming to church. He got no problem with that.
Oh, Lord.
But he got a problem when you want to work for the Lord. So he'll take stuff like pride and selfishness and disobedience and anguish and so forth. And he'll throw that in. Envy and jealousy. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Any more?
All right now.
All of that. He'll take it and he'll try to work it. Amen. To destroy us and keep us, watch this, distracted from the work of the Lord. So we ought to resist the influences of the world, which says it's okay to live recklessly. Let me help you to understand something. We are to be influencers of the world. The world shouldn't be influencing us. We're the influences. That's what Jesus says. He says, you're the salt of the earth. Isn't that what he's saying? He says, you're the light of the world. Many times, much of what is happening even in our churches today is that we've become so influenced with what the world is doing that we've neglected our responsibility. And so he says, John says, ignore the influences of the world. That's how Satan works. He'll make you, even as Christians, say to one another, well, it's all right. Everybody else doing it. But we are influencers. We shouldn't be influenced by the world. Now, I didn't mean to go there, but look, here's the thing. We must recognize that God desires to lead us daily. Yeah. So here it is. This is what he does. We resist the works of Satan, but John teaches us in verse 9 that we allow the seed of God to grow in us. You see it? He says, no one born of God makes a practice of sin. And let me just, I think I better back up and say something. Here's what we need to understand. I know that in the King James it says committed sin, and then here in the ESV it says makes a practice of sin. And what you have to understand is he's saying that we don't live in a life or pattern of sin or a life that is consistent and congruent with sinfulness. Does that make sense? Amen. You know, truth be told, we will make some mistakes. But mistakes ought not be our pattern of life. Amen. 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 It's a sin problem when we're just doing the same thing over and over and over and over. No remorse, no repentance. No thought about how God feels about this, what God says about this, what God is doing, you know, so what God is going to do, what the consequences are. That's a sin problem. That's a sin problem. That's a sin problem. So he clearly says those who practice sin, those who keep on sinning, and that is to have no regard for God. Amen. You know, when you can be unforgiving, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
you can just,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody asks for forgiveness and you don't want to forgive them. You know what I'm saying? You just keep on walking around unforgiving. I mean, some of, you know, we've been mad at each other about something that we done forgot what we mad about. That's a sin problem. That's a sin problem. Amen. Can't be forgiven. Look, this is what the scripture said. The scripture says, watch this. He says, if you don't forgive your brother, then I won't forgive you. And look, this is in the prayer that we learned. What was the prayer we learned? Lord, forgive us our debt as we forgive what? You know what you're saying? Lord, forgive me the same way I forgive other folk. It's a sin problem. So he says that we allow the seed of God to grow in us, and for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning. He cannot keep on doing it. You don't keep on. Look, when I was in the army, I recall we were over in Desert Storm, and they didn't have alcohol and everything. And some of the fellas, they got hold to some embalming fluid.
Oh, Lord.
What is it called? Formaldehyde?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And they poured it inside some soda waters.
Oh, man.
And they would be out there drinking it and stuff. And one day I walked into, we had built our own little bathrooms, you know. I walked into that. I heard one guy, he was just, sounded like his whole insides was coming out. And here's what he said. He said, "White, never again. Never again. Never again." I say, "Hey, man, that ain't none of my business." And so I come back out the next day. Same guy.
Same guy.
Never again.
My.
And I'm afraid it's some of us who live the same way.
My.
We just keep on and keep on. Those who are born of God, and the seed of God. Look, the seed of God is the word of God. And the word of God, watch this, the word of God pricks us. And it compels us to stay away from sin. Stay away from hatred. Stay away from unforgiveness. Stay away from lying. Stay away from evil works. The word of God is the word of God. Look, matter of fact, in Hebrews 4 and 12, he says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So it said the word of God, when you start thinking about it, when it starts resonating, the word of God already started working on us. We allow the seed of God to grow in us, the word of God to grow in us. And let me help you to understand, the only way the word of God is going to grow in you is if you get the word of God in you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. The word of God don't just pop up.
Amen.
You got to study and read his word. You got to watch it. You got to get in Bible study. You got to come to Sunday school. You got to get in church and hear what his word is saying. You got to get to a point where you set aside some devotion time by yourself where you reading his word. Word of God grows in us. We allow it to grow in us. The seed of God. The seed of God is the word of God. And look, let me tell you what the word of God does. The word of God pushes us to do what is right. Amen. I heard somebody say the other day, say, "Reverend, look, man, they, Reverend, you know, I mean, sometimes folk, you know, they really start to pushing that button, and they pushing that button, but I hear the Lord telling me, don't do it." And I walk away and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Look. the word of God to keep you in, it'll keep you, watch, it will, when it says keep you in perfect peace, it really means keep you in perfect peace. We allow the word of God. We resist the works of Satan, but then we allow the seed of God to grow in us. But here's the question. Here's the question. Do we hear the word of God? Do we hear God speaking to us? Does God's word pierce us and tell us, no, don't do that? No, that's wrong. No, don't think like that. No, don't act like that. No! Do we hear the words of God? Do we hear ourselves? I'm going to tell you what we hear. Let me tell you what we hear. Many times we do it. We void the word of God with a catchphrase. Y'all know what that catchphrase is, that we void his word with. God know my heart. When we say God know my heart, that means I know better, but I'm going to do what I want to do. That's all we say. That's what we say. That's what we saying. We saying, look, God know my heart. All we saying is that, you know, I'm gonna do whatever I wanna do. I know what's wrong. I know what I'm about to do is wrong. I know what I'm about to say is wrong. I know I should have been there. I know I should have done this. I know, but God know my heart. Baby, let me just help you understand. It does not void God's word. Does it make sense? And this is what he, this is what 1 Peter tells us. 1 Peter 2:2-3 teaches us. This is what he says to us about it. He says, like newborn infants, long for the spirit or the pure spiritual milk, that by it ye may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tested that the Lord is good. Do we hear his word? Does his word, is his word active in our life? If it's not active in our life, then we've not been allowing it to grow. Look, if we can come to church, because he's writing Christian folk, if we can come to church and the person that we don't want to talk to, we decide instead of us going on their road, we go all the way around so we don't have to speak to them, that's a sign that maybe the word is not active in your life. If you can lie just a lie, just make up a lie, you know what I'm saying? Just, my pastor said, you know, there's some, you know, some folk, he said, white, you know, you got to be careful because there's some folk, they sit in the corner and they just hatch up a lie. You know? Perhaps the word of God is not active in your life. If you're easily influenced by what the world says against what God says, perhaps the word of God isn't active in your life. Let me tell you something. There are things that we will not do as believers because the word will not allow us to do it. That's true. Amen. The word won't allow us to quit on God. The word won't allow us to hate our brother. The word won't allow us to mistreat one another. Says we'll let it grow in us. There'll be a point where we are spiritually mature. We can't walk around as little children all the time. That's a growing point. That's a point where we ought to be grown. The word must grow. When the word grows, we grow. Does that make sense? If the word grows in us, we have no choice but to grow. That's why you can't, look, this is a telltale sign of a person that is not allowing the word of God to grow in them, is when they say stuff like, y'all heard me say this, you probably heard me say it another 40 years. This is what they say. They say stuff like this. I've been this way all my life. That's the telltale sign of an individual who is not allowing the word of God to grow in them, because you cannot meet Jesus.
You cannot read his word and be the same way. The word changes you. It rearranges you. It makes you different. Look, this is what Big Mama said. It said, it make me cry when what? Look, ain't nothing wrong. Hold on, wait a minute, wait a minute. She had a song that she used to sing. She said, what is this that makes me love my enemies? What is this that makes me do right? What is it? Whatever it is. That's what the word of God does. The word of God won't let you be the same. Amen. Yeah.
Come on now.
Look, look, let me tell you something. You can, let me tell you what the word of God does. The word of God will excite you. And it will convict you. It'll excite you because you know of the goodness of God and how he'll bring you through his salvation. But it'll convict you and tell you, look, you need to do this. You need to get here. You need to be there. That's the purpose of the word of God. It's not, look, let me just say this also. The word of God is not meant just to be flinging, you know what I'm saying, at our convenience. You know, we got our pet scriptures, you know, our particular scriptures. You know what I'm saying? That we can utilize for us. And then we got the other we can utilize for other people. but the word of God is for everybody. Does it make sense? Amen. So we must hear the word of God. The word of God works on us and works. It must grow in us. And when it grows in us, it changes us. Now, here's the next thing. Here's the last thing. Look, we identify ourselves as children of God. The way of the Christian is we resist the works of Satan. Resist his works. We allow the seed of God, which is the word of God, to grow in us. Then we identify ourselves as children of God.
Amen.
As children of God. You see it right there, verse 10. By this, it is evident who are the children of God. And who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Truth is, God is our Father. And we ought, watch this, we ought live according to his dictates and what he says. That's why it's important. That's why John made it clear that, you know, the word of God must grow in you, because if you're in the word of God, then that means that it you are hearing what God is saying. And that phrase word of God literally means the utterance of God. What God says. So if God says it, then that ought to be enough. Amen. You know, you can't just take one part of the Bible and say, I mean, you know. And so, because he's our Father, we hear what he says. So when we read his word, we view them as being responsibilities and accountability, responsibilities for us, but accountability to God, our Father. How we live tells us who we are. Amen. Look, when I was growing up in Shreveport, Louisiana, Cedar Grove was where I was.
Cedar Grove.
I could walk anywhere in that community and everybody knew that's Claude White's boy. And for those who knew my mother well, and her side of the family would say, look, that's one of them Coleman. Look, he got a hair like a Coleman. Look, right there. That's him right there. They know who I was. When they saw me, they knew who I was. They knew who my daddy was. I would come, I'd be by somebody's house, and they'd say, you Reds, boy? My daddy. You know, down south, they give folk nicknames there. If you real, real light, you know. You Reds, boy, ain't you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I knew then that, you know, I better make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, because... Do you identify, when people see you, do they identify you as a child of God on your job?
That's a good question.
Do people identify you? Do they say, are you a Christian? Or do they say, you a Christian?
Yeah.
Can people identify who you are by the way you live?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Do you speak more about you, or do you speak more about God? And I'm not just talking verbally, I'm talking about in your actions. I said it this morning in Sunday school. The way we live, watch this, ought to speak. Our lives ought to speak to who Christ is, not for who we are. Our lives ought to say, ought to speak to who Christ is. They see us and living, you know, all not be, because this is how some of us are. You know how we are. You know how we are. You know what I'm saying? When somebody do something against us, do something towards us or whatever, you know what I'm saying? We got to make sure they know. You better not know who I am. We got to prove ourselves. Make sure they understand. When we do that, we're outside of the will of God, because our responsibility is to speak and our lives to speak to who Christ is. And look, let me just tell you something. If you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be born again, if you're going to be God's child, you got to get some thick skin. Because people are going to talk about you. They're going to lie on you. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to do all sorts of things, but they're going to leave you out, push you to the side, ostracize you. They're going to mistreat you. But your responsibility is not to prove that you big and you bad. Your responsibility is to prove that you walk with the King.
Yeah.
It's to prove that, look, you may take this from me. You may do this to me. You may push me to the side. But I got a Father. That's what your life ought to say. I've got a Father who will take care of me. And as long as you mistreat me, I'm going to love you. As long as you dog me out, I'm going to hug you. As long as you push me to the side, I'm going to step in and get in where I fit in, because the Lord is who I live for. See, when you can't do that, when you can't live like that, that means you ain't living for God. God ain't your Father. God ain't your Father. God ain't your Father. If you can't do that, God ain't your Father.
Thank you, Lord.
God's children are clear that God is gonna take care of me. Look, little girl, I'm closing now. Little girl was on the playground, and she had got some ice cream from her dad, and she had one scoop. And these other kids came about, and they had, you know, they were making fun of her, and really, you know, just ridiculing her, because all she had was one scoop of ice cream. They had these big, you know, cups of ice cream, and they were talking about it and everything. And what happens is they were pushing her, and somebody pushed her, and she dropped her ice cream cone. And she didn't get upset. She didn't push anybody back. She turned around. She looked and found where her dad was, and she said, hey, Daddy, I dropped my ice cream. Said, well, He said, now how you do that? He said, well, I was over there, and the kids were making fun of me, and they made me drop it. One of them pushed it out my hand. The dad said, okay, all right, let's go get you some ice cream. She comes back. She had three scoops of ice cream. And watch this. She had a banana split in the other hand. And she came back and she said, I know y'all got ice cream, but the ice cream I had before, my daddy gave to me. But I knew that when I dropped this, I could get some more from my daddy. And you know what? He'll always give me more than I had when I go to him about it. I ain't got to fight you. I don't know about you, but you ought to be a child of God that's willing to say, I trust him even when I can't trace him. Oh, he will take care of you. I'm trying to quit here. I'm not going to do this. But I want to tell you today, the Lord will take care of his children. Anybody here know he'll take care of his children? Anybody here know he will? Won't he do it? Oh, yes, he will. My God takes care of me. That's what children of God is all about. Being a child of God, recognize that God will take care of you. You ain't got to fight. Matter of fact, can I tell you what you do? When you got enemies and so forth, let me tell you what you do. Shout right now. Somebody said, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout right now. Oh yes. He will. Oh, he will. Take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Anybody here a living testimony? Anybody here can say the Lord took care of me? Anybody here say when I was down, he picked me up? When I was out, he brought me in. When doors were closed in my face, he knocked the door open. Oh, won't he do it? I'm through now. But my soul is happy. Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to do all of that. Whatever you need. God's got it. Whatever you need. God's got it. Whatever you need in your life, God's got it. He's got everything, everything that you need. If you're here, why don't you come?